Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, we continue our discussion from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And as we said in previous episodes, this particular book is dealing with the unity of the church and the body of Christ. The unity of the church and the body of Christ. And in terms of unity, I look at the church as a whole in America and the different stands or positions that various Christians are taking, and it has me concerned. I'm very concerned about the spiritual pulse of the church. I realize that God will always have a remnant. I do realize that, and I believe that 100%. So my concern is really intended for you as a listener to really assess where you are with Christ and to assess whether or not your belief system, your worldview, is rooted in the scriptures. Not rooted in your organizations, not rooted in the educational system that you're connected to, not rooted in your civic allegiance, not rooted in your economic status, but more so, I'm praying that your belief system, your worldview is rooted in the Bible. That's my hope, that all of us that profess to be Christians stand boldly on the principles of the Bible. It is easy for us to get caught up in worldly affairs, and that's the caution the Bible gives us. Do not entangle yourself with worldly affairs. It doesn't mean that we can't engage in the political realm. It doesn't mean that we can't run for office as Christians. It doesn't mean that we can't volunteer for different civic priorities. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that we're not so consumed with the world's formula for making our neighborhoods better. We're not distracted by good works and the belief that if we just pass out enough food, if we just pass out enough clothing for the homeless, if we build enough homeless shelters, then this society will be better. I'm not negating that those things are important, and we should, as Christians, meet the natural needs of people if we want them to hear the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Salvation Army was started by believers, those who were touched by God to meet physical needs. But however, in many cases, the original tenet has been lost. Just because we do good works doesn't mean we should not propagate the gospel. So, in other words, if we are going to set up a food pantry, let us set up the food pantry with the gospel in mind, meaning that we are pointing people to Jesus. We're going to give you food, but our intent is to introduce you to Jesus. If we're going to set up a clothing dispensary. Let's pass out the clothing. Let's give people clothing to wear in the winter, clothing to wear in the summer. Let's do those things. But let's not forget the ultimate objective as Christians is to introduce people to Jesus. So when we talk about unity, Ephesians 4 reminds us that the unity of the body of Christ in a global as well as local sense has to be rooted in truth and has to be rooted in benevolence. So we as believers, we must be unified in truth. And that truth is found in Jesus. And the story of Jesus is found in the scriptures. So all these things are tied together. And unification is not about entertainment. You know, I see a lot of groups, Christian organizations, they want to be unified primarily under social activities. If we just have a lot of events and keep people inside the church walls, then things will be better. No, the type of unity that Paul is talking about is being rooted in God's word, teaching and discipling people to walk with God on their own through the word. If we train people to rightly divide the word of God, then they'll be able to live out their life with Jesus. Then they'll be able to carry and bear their own cross. Entertainment alone is not going to do it. I'm not against entertainment, but entertainment is not the priority. Activities is not the priority. We need people to know Jesus intimately for themselves. So when hard time comes, they'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a very important tenet that all of us must get to know Jesus intimately. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll continue with verse 14. And this verse reminds us what we ought to be doing, which is that we should no longer be like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine, right? Not all doctrine is sound. Not all doctrine is biblical. And by doctrine, we mean teachings. We mean things that we individuals are teaching, things that individuals are preaching, and even include things that individuals are singing about. Every wind of doctrine. There are some songs that we may be singing, may be soothing to the ears and soothing to our hearts, but may not be biblical. And these things are important because as music, and I love music, music has a way of getting inside of us. Have you ever found yourself singing songs that you didn't even intend to memorize, but because it was catchy, you found yourself singing it? So music has power. But what's more important with music is the content of the lyrics. So we need to make sure that we're not listening to music that's taking us further away from Christ, but bringing us closer to Christ. That's the type of music we ought to be listening to. And then we talk about teachings. We mentioned earlier about false prophets and false teachers. We mentioned individuals like David Koresh and individuals like Charles Taze Russell, who started Jehovah's Witnesses, individuals like Joseph Smith, who started Mormonism. We're talking about false teachings. And so these are the type of teachings that the scriptures warn us about. Okay, so not all teachings are the same. Not all preachers are the same. So we must stand on sound doctrine and not be so easily persuaded by every new thing that comes along. Every new ideology that has Christian on it, we embrace that. We can't do that. Every new theory, theological theory that comes about, we just embrace it because someone has a reverend or have a title in front of their name. We need to be careful that we test the spirit by the spirit. So don't be like children, not mature, whereby that leads us to embracing teachings that are not of God. Don't be carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. And you have men and women who are preaching and teaching things that are contrary to God's word. It is contradictory to God's word. And many people inside of the church are being led astray just because this person is eloquent, just because this person has status. We easily listen to them and we don't test it by the word. And oftentimes these individuals engage in eisegesis, which is putting into the scriptures what's not there, instead of exegesis, which is pulling out of the scripture what's already there. So we have to be cautious. We have to be cautious. If we're going to please God, we have to do things his way, because he loves us and he's given us a prescription for an abundant life. Not an ordinary life, but an abundant life. So again, watch out for every wind of doctrine. Watch out for the trickery of men and how they eisegese and use certain words and twist certain words and take things out of biblical context. It's so important. I can't say this enough. It's so important that all of you listening, me included, that we practice hermeneutics, the science and art of biblical interpretation. There's a correct way to read scripture, and these false teachers, they violate the laws of hermeneutics all the time. They go to a scriptural passage and they lift it out of context and they plug in what they want this verse to mean without looking at what's going on in the story. And you can't do that. You can't just go into the Bible, lift out of scripture, and make it mean what you want it to mean without looking at the context. Context, context, context. So if you have questions or want to learn more about hermeneutics, you can go on our website, srministries.org, and you'll find information about hermeneutics and how to study the Bible for all it's worth. So again, avoid false doctrine. Don't be led astray by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. They are those who are plain deceitful, and they'll come across as the legitimate word of God in terms of their propagation, but in actuality, they're teaching something that's totally contrary or false. I'll give you another example. When my close friends and I first became Christians at our church, we started or resumed the street witnessing ministry. And what we would do on Saturday mornings is around 11 o'clock, we would meet, have prayer, and we would go door to door sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we realized that many people thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses. And we would emphatically tell them, no, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're Christians just preaching the gospel. And as we shared with these individuals, every now and then, people will still show a little bit of skepticism. Are you sure you're not Jehovah's Witnesses? So we were forced to learn more about Jehovah's Witnesses and what they believed. And in studying more about Jehovah's Witnesses and in studying more about Mormonism at that time, because they did home visit as well, what we realized is if you just talk to people on a surface level, you'll never get the content of what they mean. So in other words, all three groups use the name Jesus. Christians use the name Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses use the name Jesus. Mormons use the name Jesus. But all three of us have different meaning or understanding of the name Jesus. So if you just talk on a surface level, you'll really never get to understanding what they mean when they say Jesus. If we're talking to even a Muslim, the Muslims use the name Jesus also. But to them, Jesus is just a good prophet. If you talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, they use the name Jesus, but Jesus is the first creation of Jehovah, meaning that he was created. Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus is not eternal. And then if you talk to Mormons, they believe that Jesus is a spirit brother of Lucifer. So we, in talking to people, we can't just assume that just because they're using the same jargon, that what they're saying matches up with Scripture. That's the key. So why is this important? There may be someone listening right now who's saying, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is God believes in the law of identity. And when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, what he's talking about is there's no other way to the Father but through him. So if we don't follow Jesus and we don't follow the prescripts of the Bible, which displays exclusiveness, then we're saying we don't agree with God, what the Scripture is saying. God says, if you want to see the Father, you got to come by the Son, and that's Jesus Christ. But these other groups, they offer an alternative way. Yes, when you listen to Jehovah's Witnesses, it may seem like they're offering the biblical plan of salvation, but it is not. They're offering works, which the Bible blatantly contradicts in Ephesians, especially Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then when you're talking to a Muslim, same thing. They are offering works as salvation. If your good work outweighs your bad work, then Allah will allow you into the kingdom. But again, their teaching of what salvation is totally contradictory to the Word of God. And even inside what we call the Christian theological umbrella, there are many groups, many teachers who are sharing things that are not biblical. And so when we hear anything that sounds good, we must test the Spirit by the Spirit. And ultimately, God loves us, and he's given us these prescriptions in the Bible so we won't hurt ourselves, so we won't bring calamity upon us. And when God tells us to do something, we must agree with him that he knows best, even if we don't initially agree with it. Because he's God, I must, through faith, accept what he's saying and do things his way. So Christians, we're called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And in Corinthians, we learn in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 that we must pull down strongholds. And pulling down strongholds is a vital part of our mission of our mandate. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? And so we as Christians are mandated to pull down every anti-God philosophy, anti-God rhetoric. When we come and present it and are presented with these type of philosophies, we have a mandate to speak the truth in love, to share the gospel in love. And so our response must be rooted in the scriptures. Again, watch out for every wind of doctrine. Watch out that you're not tossed to and fro. Watch out for the trickery of men. Watch out for the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, meaning that it's not coming at you, obviously. The devil has a way of doing things in a subtle way. It may seem like people are preaching the truth. It may seem like some people are teaching the truth, but it's not the truth. So the devil doesn't always come at you where you can see him, obviously. He comes in a subtle way. So we have to be careful that we don't get caught up and be entrapped by the deceitfulness of these individuals. However, in verse 15, this is what we should do. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. So Christ is the head and he's our example. So if we want to know what to do, do like Jesus did. In the first part, verse 14, Paul tells us what not to do. In verse 15, he's telling us what to do, which is to be like Jesus in all things, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and then causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if we do what we're supposed to do, it causes the body to grow for the building up of itself in love. So when you do what you're supposed to do, and I talked about this earlier, when you share your gifts with the church, when you contribute to the church through whether it's tithes and offering, through intercessory prayer, through you actually giving of yourself, it builds up God's church. And it also makes the body of Christ run the way that God intends for it to run. So it's important that we remember Paul's words. Christ is the example. And if you want to know the standard of Christian living, follow the life of Jesus. Follow the life of Christ. Christ was always focused on what the Father's will was for his assignment. And it's the same thing with us. We have an assignment from Jesus. And that assignment, number one, is to love our brothers and sisters inside the church and also be interested in building up one another. But all of that must be done in love. Well, our time have quickly come to a close again. Please remember, if you want to support this ministry, to go online, srministry.org, or you can send us a check to P.O. Box 582-306, Elk Grove, California, 95758. May God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.